Hi, this is Frank Todaro, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Starscream, the true leader of Cybertron, and consequently, all things Transformers. Get it? That's the name of the show.
This is Megatron, and you've found the All Things Transformers frequency here at the Geekcast Radio Network. Join Steve and Mike as they unleash the beast in you and discuss all things Transformers. Excellent! Yes!
Who gave the idea of Starscream being like one of the leaders of Cybertron, just out of plain curiosity?
Some weirdo.
What do you mean, idea? He's always one of the leaders of Cybertron. The true leader of the Decepticons. Consequently, Cybertron! Is there something wrong? Do you need a lozenge? I actually have one of them.
I'm good, thanks.
I don't know, the writers, people smarter than I am, I'm just a monkey who reads the lines, but, oh my lord, I love the idea. It's such a natural progression for him to do that, right? To go into politics.
There have been many voices of Starscream. Chris Latta, obviously the first and arguably the best. However, there have also been Starscream vocals done by Doug Parker, Tom Kenny, Steve Bloom, Charlie Adler, and so many more. But there can be only one true leader of Cybertron and the Decepticons, and that is our guest today here on All Things Transformers in the TFGN podcast. We welcome Mr. Frank Todaro.
No.
Well, I would more say that it's a crisis of infinite star screams. We all get together at the company mixers to discuss our chosen paths and ruling techniques in our respective dimensions. No one's really right. Well, we're all right. We're Starscream.
How dare you, Starscream?
Well, I mean, I dare. You can live if you dare.
I'll melt you down into aluminum siding. Oh, yes, indeed.
Or you could dare to be stupid like Optimus.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thanks for joining us.
We haven't even started this yet, and it's already a blast.
Right on. God. We could probably just go on and on talking about what toys are coming out next, because we're all a bunch of collectors and stuff, too.
Yeah, right? We probably could.
Gosh.
We probably shouldn't, because your vocal cords are already ripped now. You won't have a voice by the time we end up finishing.
That's just what I normally sound like. The other voice is the one that I put on. It's from my mother's side. You know, she's half Canadian.
I was going to say, so you're Batman now?
Oh my lord, no, I'm gonna corner Katie Holmes on the subway or something. Jesus.
Now wait a second, Kevin Conroy never did that.
No, not that, not the Batman. You're right.
Yeah, there is only one Batman.
And there's only one Joker.
Police, Katie Holmes.
Oh god. All right.
I'm sorry, I'm throwing you guys off. I apologize.
No, it's hilarious. It's awesome.
Think of the fun.
Uh-huh. That's right, Joker. Before we get started, and I always ask this, but I always preface it, if you're going to get in trouble, don't say anything. But is there any upcoming projects that you can tease our listeners with?
Oof, the high. So this is a great question for me because I'm so stupid that I forget everything anyway. So I'm not going to remember anything that's spoiling. Things that are coming up for me. Well, Kingdom, of course, that's coming up. I think they just announced that it's going to be in July. So they just at PulseCon. The Cuphead show, I get to play Mugman in the Cuphead show, which I'm super, super excited about. I cannot gush about that enough. I don't remember what I can and can't talk about, so I'll just say some video games and stuff and TV shows and things. And I don't know. There are things. What was that?
I says, and there you have it.
You speak TV? I speak TV.
Mike's eyes are rolling in his head right now.
My eyes rolled so hard it was audible across the room.
Oh, I felt it near Burbank, man.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's right. I feel his startup is stupid.
All right, Waspinator. All right. This is a Waspinator-free zone, don't you know?
All right, so, Frank, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Queens, New York, right around the Flushing area of Queens. Lived in Astoria for about 15 years, Forest Hills for a couple years. So I just bounced around Queens. I'm a glorified townie, only my town just happens to be New York.
So you're a Mets fan?
Oh, yes. I grew up right in the shadow of Shea Stadium. Let me tell you, I'm a Mets fan, Spider-Man fan by default. That's I think Spider-Man is a Mets fan, so it kind of makes its own gravy.
There you go.
So
that's why it's good. You know, the Mets fans, it helps you build character because you're just used to disappointment all the time. So much kinder than the Yankees fans.
So, except, so you got your early start in acting like you were expecting something different.
Oh, the Mets. So, let's go. Let's go, Mets. I love the orange and blue. That's where I'm from. I'm a New Yorker. And now I live out in Burbank, beautiful downtown Burbank.
Yeah, totally different end of the country.
Yeah. Other side. Big other giant side. Volleyball game.
So did you always want to be an actor or a voice actor?
I think it was always in the back of my mind. I mean, we all go through different things as we grow up. But when I was a kid, just telling the story the other day, I used to, you know, we're all probably around the same age, I'm assuming. Probably not. I'm probably much older. Practically dust at this point. There are these tape recorders that we all had with the little handle that goes ka-chunk, ka-chunk on the outside and the one is half speaker. So I had one of those as a kid. It was a hand-me-down from my mother. And I would record every time that all the little kids came over and we were all be playing. I was a little kid too. There's nothing weird about that. And like they would want to play house and I would say, okay, let's do that. But I want to record it. So we would all like kind of talk into the tape recorder. And you know, like Family Ties and the Cosby Show were the rage at the time. So I would always make these terrible jokes and stuff where she would say, oh, this is my boyfriend. I'm bringing my boyfriend over tonight. And I would always be playing the dad because I was one of the two guys on the block. I'd, oh, how ugly is he? So there are all these tapes that my mom has for like blackmail material of that. And then, you know, years go on and I definitely had an aha moment later on where I realized this is what I want to do. And that was oddly connected to Transformers. It was, well, not oddly, because honestly, most of my inspiration came from actors that were in Transformers. But I remember very distinctly, it was the late 90s. I was home from college and hearing in the other room Beast Wars, as we were talking about before this, big Beast Wars fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me that Scott McNeil was half of the characters that were talking at that time.
Yep.
And one of my favorite characters is the character Rat Trap, right? Especially, I'm a not super tall Italian guy from New York myself. So, of course, I'm like, oh, I relate to that guy. I think probably one of my favorite characters in science fiction period was Rat Trap. And I just remember hearing that and then hearing Silverbolt talking to him with Waspinator, the whole same thing. And I'm like, God, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. That would make me happy. And it was a long, long trip getting there. I'm going to keep prattling on here. I apologize. But yeah. And then eventually, you know, you just keep hacking away at that stone like a Skeksy with a sword. And eventually it breaks. And thank God you can pay the rent with it.
Very awesome. So how did you break into the business doing all that?
Just hacking away at that rock, man. Just found that pavement. You got to love it. You got to love the taste of ramen noodles. And eventually, you know, something gives. And yeah, it was Transformers that brought me out here. I was mostly doing voice work back in New York. And I moved here around the time the Transformers dropped. There were some like remote things. I would have to fly back and forth for some jobs and such. It's a very different climate now. Now, since the pandemic, the way we do things has changed so much, which is kind of good in a sense. I mean, there's just kind of talking about the other side of this. is in that people around the country now have these opportunities to record remotely because everybody's scrambling to figure out how to record remotely. And since the pandemic, everybody has sort of, the voice community, and you know this, Stephen.
Yes.
Everybody's sort of come together to help one another sort of get your tech up to spec, get things more sort of like a commonality to sound for everybody's setup so that we can still keep working. And the great side effect of that is that everybody from coast to coast now has this opportunity, you know. I don't even remember the question because I've just been prattling on and on and on like a batty old man for a while. The Mets are great. What were we talking about?
Yeah, I'm not too much of a fan of that 86 team, though.
Dude, I've got my 86 World Series button
about two feet
from my desk right now. And it's being held by a black suit Spider-Man Marvel Legends figure.
Oh, of course it is. Did you grow up with Transformers, and at what age do you remember first noticing the franchise?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'll go back a year before Transformers. My first transforming robot toy was a Buggyman action figure in 1983. And I loved that thing to death. I played with that so much. And then after that, I got my Cassette Man, which I don't know if it was the original Dyke. I think they had like a couple of knockoffs of them that came out around the same time. So it was like a slightly wrong colored Soundwave, but he had like those embossed letters of Cassette Man on his belly. But yeah, from day one, man, I loved Transformers. I loved the idea of it. I remember being enamored with the idea of aliens who were just sort of like, I don't know, I guess inhabiting these things that were built on an assembly line. It's so different. They're genuine aliens. Like up until then, I mean, I'm born in 77, so I'm fairly young, but aliens meant they had pointy ears or like xenomorphs or giant gray aliens from those documentaries on Channel 9 in the afternoon on Sundays. Like it was really cool, right? Especially when like Cobra Commander shows up in one of them in the future. Oh my God, this is like a joined universe. It's just like my comic books. It was great. I love them from the start.
Okay, now this is just a me question. I ask this to everybody. Because I did this when I was a kid, and I just assume I'm weird for me and my friends doing this. Growing up, did you and your friends ever – I'm going to terminology it like this because I refuse to believe in LARPing – pretend to play Transformers? So basically, you're all at recess or after school or wherever in the front yard, the backyard, and you yell out, "I'm going to be Starscream," and your best friend yells out, "Well, I'm going to be Megatron and kill you."
Of course. And I will say that going back to the other question about how you get into voice acting, I think that between playing make-believe like that, running around on our front lawns, right? And then something that's close to me is the game Dungeons and Dragons. So we couldn't afford the books when we were kids, so we would like make up things, right? So it got to the point where like you were playing with your toys, but then you kind of make rules and stuff, and you're playing with your toys, or you're running around pretending. I remember one of my friends pretending to be Baron Von Joy from the GoBots and running around the courtyard and the school we were at in Bayside. And like it was the natural progression was to start playing role-playing games. And then eventually in high school, I met a group of friends first week of high school that I don't know if you curse on this, so I'll say I kid you not. Okay, then I shit you not. Every Saturday, we still get together now via Skype around the country and continue the same second edition game that we started in 1991. And that is, and other games, we're playing Star Wars and Vampire and Rifts. But that was invaluable to my career. Getting to inhabit a character, figuring out what that character's going to do next. I get asked a lot, how do you get into voice acting? There are those answers, you know, capital A, lowercase v, take an improv class, all of these wonderful bits of advice. But the advice that I always get is play Dungeons and Dragons or some other role-playing game. Think on your feet. in that way, because I cannot express how valuable that was in training for the rest of my life, doing improv. I bought off a couple improv troops back in New York. And I remember when I guess, like, oh, this is kind of like Dungeons and Dragons without the dice, only we're walking around, which goes back to your question about running around pretending you're Galvatron and mm-hmm. and quoting things and making up new stories. There's a creative output there that is what people do for a living when they're making cartoons. So it all kind of comes from the same muscle. It's in your head. And yeah, anyone who says that you're crazy for doing that, they're just making up a story. They forgot. Everybody did that. And the people that don't stop doing that, they're making cartoons that you watch every day. So it's all full circle, and everything kind of serves towards that sort of, anyway, I'm gonna prattle on here, but you get the picture. Dungeons and Dragons. I like Dungeons and Dragons.
Or trying to imitate your favorite characters while you're playing with the action figures.
Yeah, that's great. And when I play with the action figure, now I can say it's canon. You know?
Yeah. Yep.
It's like,
don't you know I do the voice?
But the figures never talk back, though. That's the problem.
Well. I always have this joke because I do audio drama voiceover, and they thought it was funny because I told them about this story that I used to talk to myself in a parking lot when I worked for a car dealership in different character voices, just to see, because I used to listen to like a lot of the voiceover podcasts like Rob Paulson's, and hearing how actors would, you know, change their voice as quickly as possible, you know, like for instance, like Frank, where he could jump Frank Welker, where he would jump character to the point that Wally Burr would think that it was somebody else cutting him.
We got to go back. We got to recut that. No, we don't, Wally. It's just Frank.
Yeah, it's just Frank. I love
those stories so much.
I love that story too. And I remember hearing it at TFCon many years ago. And it was one of those moments that kind of inspired me to do that. And so I started practicing it. And of course, I walk by a car and there's somebody sitting in it, and I'm talking in four different character voices, arguing with myself. Awesome, and so I tell this story to the people I work with now, and they're like, well, you know that when we write another season, we're going to have you talk to yourself. And they did.
That's the best, isn't it?
Getting to talk to yourself is hilarious.
Yeah, that's cool. God, did you sell a lot of cars, though? I mean, I feel like you walk up to somebody, like, cycling through different voices and stuff. It's like, okay, fine, here, take my...
No, I got a couple of crazy looks, though. I was like, well, I better just keep that to myself.
That's where we met, right? You mentioned Frank Welker. That was the second to last BotCon, I think.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. We met in person.
Yeah. First time we met in person, in the real world, whatever that is.
That place that's imaginary, you know?
The place that exists when I'm not playing Dungeons and Dragons? Okay.
Yeah.
That's just a role-playing game someone else is playing. We're all figments in this bizarre simulation, right?
I shouldn't
say that. People actually think that. I don't think that we're in a simulation, which is not exactly what I would say if we were in a simulation. So. What?
So, what, you know, speaking of Transformers, what generation is your generation and why?
See, that's rough, because G1, of course, is what the default setting of Transformers is in my mind, because that's what I grew up with. I read the comic books like nobody's business.
Same.
And it was a wonderful, rich world. But I don't separate the G1 from Beast Wars. To me, it's the same universe, you know, the same sort of question. What's that?
Same toy box.
Exactly. So I would say the G1 to Beast Wars to, and this is where the fan part of me like got to backflip, because technically Prime Wars and War for Cybertron are in that that timeline. So that's so I get to like go back and like play with my toys kind of in a professional manner. It's amazing. So the G1 Beast Wars, that continuity would be, I guess, my generation. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't love the heck out of Prime and Animate and all the other manifestations. Some of the most amazing moments in Transformerdom were from those shows. I loved Animated. Really, really liked Animated. Fred Willard came in as Swindle that one episode. Like,
that was great.
My brain melted and dripped out of my ears. And of course, David Kaye is like, first of all, the sweetest, nicest, most amazing, mm-hmm. kind human being. But also to hear him as this kind of like young Prime finding his way in the world in that show, everything about that show, and Derek Wyatt's like deep cut references, like Metro Titan, I think was in an episode in the background. It's insane. Insane. And and Rat Trap, of course. Rat Trap's my favorite. But yeah, and the whole cast are just so nice. But G1. I'm gonna keep talking about Animated, but G1, I guess. G1, two Beast Wars, and Beast Machines. There's some good stuff in there.
Yeah, Beast Machines got a raw deal, but anyway.
It did.
It kind of did.
It got a raw deal because
it was different.
If you separate it as a standalone, it is a very good science fiction. It's mm-hmm. made well. It looked beautiful. The concepts were great. The only kind of disparity there was like some of the characterization where people were like, oh, would that character really do that? I'm upset because Rhinox is my surrogate dad. I don't want him to be a mean tank man. You know? But as a show, it was a very good show.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Who is your end all be all favorite character from any Transformers incarnation? You can pick one Decepticon, one Autobot, one Maximal, one Predacon.
Well, the answers are Starscream, and Starscream. He's technically in all of them, right? He Autobot at one point, right? No.
And he's in Beast Wars too, so I mean that counts.
He was, yeah, that's right. It was Doug Parker that did that, right?
Yep.
God, my favorite Autobot. My favorite Autobot is kind of a weird one. It's changed over the years, but it's sort of solidified into Blue Streak.
Huh,
Blue Streak has one of the most tragic backstories. If you delve into his like bio, like the old Marvel bio and stuff, mm-hmm. where the reason why he talks up a Blue Streak is because everyone he knew in his life died during the Great War. And to get past that tragedy, that's how he kind of like, you know, uses this like motor mouth. And of course, it was Casey Kasem. So, I mean, it's Casey Kasem. He's sort of like the Spider-Man. He uses this as a defense mechanism to hide the fact that he is constantly tortured by his entire family dying. And that is friggin' cool. It's a really very interesting kind of deep background for him. For Decepticons, I mean, Starscream's my favorite now. I love Starscream. There's a depth there. I loved so much the idea of him becoming a politician in the beginning of Combiner Wars. That was so cool. It was just a great progression for him. And like now getting to see the sort of like origin story and stuff. He's a scientist, man. It's great. You know, Maximal, of course, Rat Trap. Predacon, gosh. Oh gosh! How can I not say Megatron? I don't know how I can. Like, there's something amazing about all of them. Dinobot is amazing. I just watched Code of Hero again the other day when I was opening my toy. I'm like a little kid, you know, with the cowboy hat on, watching a Western, opening my Dinobot while watching Code of Hero. But there's just something so like it's like melted chocolate. The Beast Wars Megatron is it. That's my choice. I haven't gotten that figure yet, so.
I was fortunate to find him.
Oh God!
In early January, and I have not seen him in stores since.
I ordered from BBTS because Pulse was always out. So he exists somewhere. My toy exists out there somewhere. Eventually, it'll come to my house. That's it.
That's right. Yeah. That's why I keep telling everybody: just pre-order through BBTS. You save yourself the stress. You'll get it eventually. Yeah.
But I like the hunt, and so I hang out on AllSparks Discord, and then we sit there and we banter back and forth of whether we can find it or not. And I've managed to collect the entire first wave and second wave of the beasts.
Nice. Like I just opened Airazor is right next to me on my desk.
I'm painting her to be show accurate right now.
You're what?
I'm painting the figure.
Oh, right. Cool.
To be show accurate.
Yeah, it drives me nuts like that they cheaped out on the paint apps, but I love the visuals of the molds that they finally have for these figures.
I just love how they figured out sort of like the folding of the panels for some of the wings to make it look like the CGI model where they just shrink. I don't know what they're going to do with Pterosaur, but like
I don't know either, I was coming very close to getting a second Dinobot for Beast Wars Grimlock. And then they're going to have a Beast Wars Grimlock based off the Uprising comic. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do this now.
And like a G1 Mirage too, right? Are they doing a G1 Mirage? God, that's cool.
Great time to be a fan.
So many toys, so little time.
We don't deserve this, do we? You know,
Oh, yes, we do. After all they put us through in the 80s, yes, we do. We deserve this.
I know, we're spoiled now. We get all these awesome toys now.
Yeah. It's definitely a moment of like, where do you go from here? Because they have gone and mined so many of these like G1 figures that you never really thought, Japanese exclusive figures. I can't believe that Overlord was in Prime Wars, you know, and let alone like this masterpiece of a figure there. And then they go back and redo things that you just got a couple of years ago. This Studio Series Grimlock, like that's a masterpiece that you can drop on the floor. It's amazing. Oh, it's the same scale, too.
And it's a masterpiece that costs a fraction of the price.
Yep. This is true.
That's what I like so much about these new toys. Yes. Like Dinobot. They finally have a good Dinobot in budget pricing.
How often do you go back and rewatch any of the Transformers cartoons that you're not a character in?
I was just saying, I just watched Code of Hero the other day. I'll throw one on in the background, mostly Beast Wars, in the same way I would put on like Star Trek The Next Generation or The Office or something, just kind of like put it on. Because after a while, you watch them so many times, it's like listening to a song that you know really well, you know, that you kind of have all the beats down. In fact, I probably watch things that I'm not in far, far more often than the things I am in.
We all love Transformers comics. Which incarnation do you love and why?
Love what they're doing with IDW. The Lost Light crew stories were amazing. But the tail end of the Marvel run, the Furman stuff, honestly, there's so many from the early run, the Bob's. That just has that special place in my heart because that's what I started with, you know? And I am behind. I have a lot of the big black spined collected ones, you know, IDW put out the hardcovers of the two different runs, the two different kind of realities when the movies came out. Not realities, you know what I mean? Like the phases, of the IDW universe. If to actually answer the question, I would say the original Marvel run.
That's one of my favorites too, actually.
Yeah.
I remember scrounging them.
When they showed the arc, I couldn't help but notice right away that the face looked just like the last Autobot from that issue. Yeah. And then to find out that, no, that's on purpose. And then you see, what's his name? The Action Master. Mainframe, is it?
Yeah.
No, not Mainframe. It is Mainframe, right?
Yeah. I think so.
And Teletran 1 is like... Teletran.
Yeah.
Teletran 1. it was kind of basically that exact figure. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what was your favorite, or actually your first Transformers toy as a kid?
My first Transformers toy was a red Bumblebee. It was a wrong colored Bumblebee.
So Cliff Jumper.
Most of it today.
Bumble Jumper.
I know.
Yeah, but I don't know, is it Cliff B or Bumble Jumper, but the red version of Bumblebee.
Yeah, it's Bumble
in
Jumper.
The package that had him,
Nice, nice. How big is your Transformers collection?
It's pretty big. There's about 100 Rubbermaids in a undisclosed location. back in New York in storage, because most of my G1 and all that sort of stuff is over there. Over with the stuff that made it across, those few select pieces came from that period across the country when we moved. But everything from like the thrilling 30s forward came across with me. So most of that stuff is here. There's some G1 and whatnot. I have the misfortune of not just collecting Transformers, so gonna need a bigger boat fairly soon. It's probably bigger than it should be.
So, how do you feel about non-transforming Transformers, especially like I've seen the studio or the not the studio, the red figures, which don't get me wrong, they look awesome. What is your opinion of just non-transforming Transformers?
For me personally, I love the idea when it's of an old Action Master, like Super 7 just put out Banzaitron as one of their like premium action figures. Have you seen this?
Yeah, I think so.
I've seen the photos of the Super 7.
Yeah, I don't know if they're actually out yet. They had one of the Insecticons and Ghost Starscream. I would love the non-transforming figures of the Action Masters. I mean, of course, I would like them to actually transform too. But outside of that, I mean, I haven't really been collecting them. I've seen them in the stores. And I think what's just held me back is like just holding the Netflix repaint of Earthrise Optimus, if you got that one with the little two minicons or whatever.
Yep, I got that one.
Yeah, that is a perfect toy. There's no way to improve that. Like the dimensions, the whatever. It is a perfect toy, and the joints were all tight on the one that I got. It's great. So I don't really see the need outside of being a completist, which I'm not. I can't be a completist. It's just I can't get every single minicon that has a teal blob of paint on its forehead from Micron Legends, whatever. So if I were a completist, maybe, but I might grab something that catches my eye. Of course, if a Starscream comes out, I'm going to grab the Starscream. But like that Cheetor figure, they were on the shelves next to each other the last time I went to Target to buy cat food. And it was, they had Cheetor from Kingdom next to the Red Series Cheetor. And the Red Series had some great paint apps and stuff. But the one that transforms, they have already figured out the technology to make it look that great as a robot. So I don't know. I'm not going to say that it's not for me, but I definitely would not buy it in lieu of the awesome transforming one that they've already worked out
how to do. I could see that.
And yeah. One of the reasons why I'm asking people or why we are asking people this question is because eventually I'm going to steer the conversation to Funko. Have you gotten the Funko Pop Starscream yet?
I have not been able to find it. I am also someone who likes to hunt in the wild, when there's not a global pandemic. I like to find things. It feels like there's an accomplishment. I do nothing. I wake up from my bed and walk into a closet all day. I need the physical activity. And I have not found that. I found Bumblebee. I think it's a Target exclusive, right? The Funko Pop?
I think so, yeah.
It is.
I have not seen it yet. That's probably the only modern Starscream I don't have. I'll send you a picture later of the display of narcissism. That's why I call it my Starscream display. Pun intended.
That's funny.
That's all right. That's how I am with Megatron. Never voiced him professionally, but I like to have every single one of them.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, you voiced him in something, though, right? Didn't you voice him in an audio drama?
Audio dramas and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that counts. And, that counts, counts when you're buying toys.
Yeah. Dark Glass.
I had to, I was going to buy it anyway, but I splurged on the Scorponok because in one of the fan dubs a gazillion years ago, I voiced Zarek. And like, I also had to buy, I didn't get the whole set, but I bought Drillhorn because in another one of the dubs, 2 million years ago, I voiced Drillhorn in that one and stuff. And if they make a Victory Leo, I'll do that too because TF Cog days. Remember Victory Leo? Yeah.
Well, that's why I got Scourge.
Yeah. That's a great toy too.
It is too. I I had the original, or not the original, but I had the titanium one years ago, and I got rid of it because I was like, I want one that looks like the movie. And then they did it.
Wasn't bad, the titanium one. I did like the Generations one, the flying wing one. That was a fun mold all around. A
little different, but it accomplished it really well.
One day I'll get that Serpentor repaint of that.
This I command. So, switching gears a little.
That's a good episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a good episode. What are your favorite parts about voice acting?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's a great career if you're indecisive. You're a doctor one day and your mom's proud. Then you're a fuzzy bunny the next day and your mom's not so proud. It's weird. I don't know. I love every aspect of it. I love every aspect of it. The people that you get to work with are just a damn blessing. I think of most careers, even different type of acting, the people that you get to work with, your fellow actors, everyone from in every aspect is just usually just so kind, so nice, so supportive of each other. So that's great. But also, I mean, that's just it's just mind blowing to be able to do what you love and pay the rent with it and buy food and feed your cat. It's never lose sight of that. I never lose sight of that. It's amazing.
So who are and or were your influences in making you the voice actor you are today?
Jeez. we talk about all the old G1 guys. I mean, of course, Frank Welker. I love doing creature stuff, and that's all because of Frank Welker. Peter Cullen. I still can't believe that there's a show out there that exists that when Peter Cullen says Starscream, he's talking about me. It still doesn't register. I'll tell you two stories. Back in like the early 2000s, or 99 or 2000, whatever, Greg Berger was there. And I was like, you know, I made my own demo and like, excuse me, sir, may I give this to you? You know, very nervous and stuff. Greg turns around and says, not unless I can give you my own. Gets up, goes back to his hotel room with his wife, grabs one of his discs, finds me on the floor, and gives me his demo. I still have that thing to this day. It is one of my prized possessions because, like, here's the stupid wet behind the ears kid walking up to Grimlock, right? And he's just like, no, I'm just going to treat you as, like, you know, this other, we're going to exchange them. And that's it. And like, and that stuck with me. It stuck with me. And another story, Michael McConaughey. He, through this one interaction, became like the Obi-Wan in my mind, where he gave me this advice of, if you have butterflies in your stomach, don't try to get rid of them, make them fly in formation. And just the imagery of that, I like, to this day, when I go into the booth, if there's, I mean, you know, now we were just kind of going there and have fun and do it and stuff. But, you know, whenever there's any kind of feelings like that, I still think of those words that he said to me.
And that's very cool.
It's so cool. And all of those guys, like, through the years, and then eventually, like, when my career started picking up traction, and you're there on the stage with these people, and Gary Chalk, one of the TF cons, Jason and I were up there, he kept turning to us and referring to us as, oh, the young Turks are here, right? And, like, it's some little thing that he says, like, it's, you know, whatever, you know, it's a fun joke. But then me, I'm, like, remembering this, oh, my God, Primal just... threat, you know. So I think that's just the idea that you can be, because these are, like, in my mind, like, the biggest celebrities in the world, right?
Oh, yeah.
Outside of the fact that I might actually be in something with them at some point, these are the biggest celebrities in the world. And just to see how, like, amazing they are with every, I can't even, I'm not completing sentences. But yes, Alan Oppenheimer is another one, a big influence of mine as a kid. Skeletor, Falcor, a whole bunch of ores. Something I got to thank him for at a recent convention. I walked up again timidly, now as an adult playing Starscream and stuff. It was a TFCon because, you know, he was many of the Transformers, Beachcomber, great episode. The other Sinispray. And I went to him like, hey, man, I just didn't want to do this in front of everybody, but I just wanted to really thank you. You've been this inspiration to me. And, like, he shook my hand and pulled me in and was, like, so, like, weirdly, like, so gracious, so kind to me. And I'm just some schmo who happens to have a similar job career description. And yeah. So those guys, clearly. David, who I've been gushing about before, all of the old the Beast Wars cast, who, you know, I've met at the BotCon. They were always guests at BotCons. Ian Venus. One of my first anime that I loved was called Ranma Half. You guys familiar with this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. All right. So both Venus and Dave were in that. So I heard them there before I heard them in Beast Wars or somewhere. So I think I first watched Ranma Half in Japanese with Chinese subtitles up the block at my friend's house when I was living in Queens. So I would be like, what did they say? So it's a while before I got souped up. It's ridiculous. But I don't know. I'm somewhere in there is an answer to your question. Basically, I love everyone, and it's every moment of that kind of played a different little nugget into guiding me to the stuff I get to do today. Jeez.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you audition for any other roles besides Starscream?
Oh yeah, for Combiner Wars. For War for Cybertron, they directly invited me and Jason to reprise the roles, because it was the same showrunner, FJ DeSanto, who is a god amongst men, one of the nicest people, and a New Yorker too. So that's mm-hmm. pretty freaking great. But he and Matt were Matt Murray, the supervising producer, another amazing human being. They invited us back for War for Cybertron. But for Combiner Wars, I think I auditioned for Starscream and Megatron. Yeah. And my Megatron was definitely very different than Jason's. It was much more strained, like the regular sort of G1 Megatron. And Starscream, I think it's water there, excuse me. It's because I talk too much. Starscream, I actually got a call from Eric, who's the showrunner on that. He made Eric Calderon. Combiner Wars, I got a phone call from him when I was shopping. I was grocery shopping and Stop and Shop off of Metropolitan Avenue in Forest Hills, if anybody knows who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was calling me to tell me that he could not hire me, and that he was like, it was a sad call. And to say that he didn't know what he wanted and yada, yada, yada. So I got the call. I ran out into the back in the parking lot. I'm standing next to a dumpster. And he's like, well, I don't really know if I mind. Have you ever seen Game of Thrones? There's this character, Varys, that I was thinking about. Okay. And we were going back and forth to mm-hmm. try to figure out this is the voice of Starscream. Because he did not want G1. He did not want that.
Understandably. Just the,
yeah. And we're going back and forth. And then he's like, hold on, I've got to get someone else on the call. And then back and forth. And he's like, I got to call our casting director. Hold on. So, you know, like I said, I'm walking back and forth by a dumpster in the middle of Queens. My girlfriend comes out and I'm like, I'm so sorry that I had to just walk away from you. But, you know, and so we drive back to the apartment and I'm pacing back and forth, waiting for this call. And Eric calls me back and he's like, you know what? The casting director just reminded me that they worked for me. Congratulations, you're Starscream. And again, I shit you not. Next day I was on a plane. The next day I was recording. It was like that quick.
Wow.
And it was like it blew my mind. And also my birthday was like the day after that, too. So here's something kind of fun. I spent my birthday playing Dungeons and Dragons with the showrunner and a bunch of other people from the industry around here because I had my lucky D20 in my pocket. And after it was me and Abby and Eric were sitting at a bench outside after we did our first records. Abby Trott, the amazingly talented Abby Trott, who played Windblade she's a Demon Slayer and Carmen Sandiego, a bunch of and we're sitting out, and I take the thing. I was like, oh, you're a player, hey? I'm like, oh, yes. And what are you doing this weekend? I'm going to sit in my hotel room eating 7-Eleven food on my birthday. So yeah, I got to play Dungeons and Dragons. It was ridiculous. I was a dwarf, and they were all like range weapons. I could do nothing. I just stood there screaming, holding my axe like John Rhys Davies. And but yeah, another intersplice of Dungeons and Dragons in into life.
So really quickly, you mentioned dwarfs, and I'm like, oh, this is a perfect spot to put this. What's up? Looking at your IMDb, and the first thing I think of is, why did they cross the Red Shoe Diaries with the Seven Dwarfs? What was it like being on Red Shoes in the Seven Dwarfs?
That was a good movie, man. Like it was very sweet.
I've never seen it. I'm just saying, looking at the title, Red Shoes, Seven Dwarfs, it made me think of the old Showtime series, The Red Shoe Diaries.
Oh my god, that's insane. Well done, sir.
I try.
Oh my god.
So
the Red Shoe Diaries. So someone's going to send you like some kind of like fan art now that you probably don't want.
Starscream in red shoes with a bunch of dwarves. They could be minicons.
What was it? Pino, Noki, and Kyo. I love that. I played three characters, Pino, Noki, and Kyo, and just the pun of it was friggin' amazing. It's so great. That was a really good movie. I enjoyed it.
Very cool.
So are there any crazy off the wall behind the scenes stories that you can tell us from your Transformers series you've been in?
Crazy behind the scenes off the wall. Nothing that I can say on the radio. We did go sing karaoke once and,
in character.
Yes.
It makes it so much better.
Is that on YouTube anywhere?
It was not. It was. We were literally just hanging out after a records once, and Starscream sang "Creep."
Radiohead?
Starscream sang "Creep" by Radiohead.
That's awesome. Wow. I Indeed. Could so see that.
It's okay if it hurts. I want to have control.
And so forth. Yeah, he is kind of a creep and a weirdo.
Yep. So have you ever seen something in a script that you refuse to say?
No. I mean, I've had jobs that like very rarely. But there have been some things where it's like, I don't really want to do that. And usually if it's like something remarkably extreme or anything hateful, I don't want to like support anything like that, I guess. But I mean, no. I'll help people move a couch if they want. Yeah.
Just remember to pivot, Starscream.
Pivot. Good pull, dude.
Yep. Which character is a throat ripper for you? Which character absolutely destroys your voice?
None of the Transformers. I can actually like. There's a place that I can go in the throat for all those guys. I mean, here's a little bit of the behinds. Laserbeak, voicing Laserbeak was like a lot of that got dropped, or because there was from scenes that were cut from the first two seasons. Clearly, I haven't seen Kingdom yet, so. But that one, I guess, there's a little. I have to bring down my gain here because a lot of that's. So that kind of doing that for 2 hours is a bit much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It sucks that he's gone, but if he was still around today, do you think you would survive a Wally Burr session?
Oh my god. That's the dream, isn't it? I would. It doesn't matter how many licks you take. You're just smiling the whole time.
Yep.
Oh man, yeah.
All right. So somebody said to me after WandaVision was over, and I don't know if they said it to me or if they read it online. Somebody said to me, your Starscream, Jason's Megatron, WandaVision style. And I'm thinking to myself, I need to get the two of them in a room and figure out who would be Wanda and who would be Vision, and then have them voice it.
That sounds like a panel idea, my friend.
It could be.
Starscream and Megatron. I was trying to get Jason to do this for a while. my girlfriend actually went through and transcribed an old Odd Couple episode where Megatron would be Oscar and Starscream would be Felix. And I just wanted to, like, no change to the text, just read them straight through. Because there's something there. There's a sitcom there, and especially in the Prime Wars kind of relationship that they had. There's definitely something there.
That would be hilarious. I had to do, in one of my acting classes in college, we had to do a scene from The Odd Couple, and I could clearly imagine those two characters.
Yep.
God. So what's your favorite part of the Transformers fandom, since we keep going back to that?
Transformers fandom?
Yes.
Like what? Like what? Give me an example.
So the panels or the groups that are online or.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Man, one of my favorite things was at conventions, where we would all, like, sit in the lobby playing a paper telephone and, like, sort of hanging out. And the parts parties were always super fun. Remember the parts parties?
Mm-hmm.
People would come with, like, tackle boxes full of, like, random missiles and crap and go to somebody's hotel room. So, like, you know, we really know what a party at a Transformers convention. Late night drinking and swapping missiles. silence. That joke fell.
I can't imagine Starscream drunk.
Well, there's that image of the bad energy on when he's drinking. Oh, my left wing fell off again. The tolerance is just, well, very low. See what I did there, Joe? Joint tolerance.
So you've been to a few of the fan conventions now as a voice actor, and now that we are living in this weird pandemic era of virtual cons everywhere, what are your thoughts about them?
About them
being the virtual cons.
The virtual cons?
Yes.
That's cool. I mean, I don't have to wear pants. It's wonderful. one of the things I really, really miss, though, is when I do get to go to a convention on the guest side of things, when there's downtime, I get to go to the floor and rummage through boxes. So I definitely miss that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know when we're going to feel safe doing that again. I mean, literally putting your hand in a box like a friggin' Bene Gesserit witch with disease inside. I don't know if that's in the immediate future, but I very much miss that. But outside of that, everybody's been wonderful with these online things. I mean, I don't have another place to really record, so they just see me sitting at my desk with all my weird stuff and the D&D books and whatever. So that's cool. You get to kind of a little bit more intimate. You get to go look into people's houses. And if they don't have the fake Skype background, then all bets are off, I guess.
Intimate or creepy, depending on your point of view.
Yeah. Auto-tune them afterwards, right?
Yeah, digital stalkers, you know.
Yeah, details.
Details. Yeah, I actually watched your guys' con at panel at the IACON online in January.
January, yep.
Oh, that was fun. That was really fun.
Yeah, I had a panel myself, but it was about Beast Wars, and I went on a soapbox, and people were like, yeah, that's awesome.
What was your soapbox? I didn't get to see it.
It was all about how Beast Wars was what the Transformers fandom needed 25 years ago and what it still needs today.
Basically, Beast Wars saves Transformers, essentially.
The inter-character, and specifically Beast Wars Season 2, the Transmetals season.
Oh, yeah. That was my favorite.
Some of the best science fiction, but also some of the best character interactions in science fiction. It has everything that makes Like, all the Star Treks and Star Wars, all of the things that work were there in that second season, and I love it so much.
Oh, and it touches on so many genres, too. That's the one season that, like, you can pretty much go back and watch every episode, and none of it's filler.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so much shorter, too. So
yeah,
they really just run with it. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
My favorite scene from season two is between Megatron and Rhinox, where Megatron is trying to get Rhinox to let him in the ship or whatever.
To get the golden disk.
Uh-huh. Rhinox is like, go away, I'm busy. And he just puts a bunch of distortion noise feedback with him. And he's like, ah, stubborn Maximal fool. I love that sound effect that they used for the audio feedback. Oh, it's so good.
I come in peace.
You're about to leave in pieces.
No need for violence, Rhinox. I merely wish to talk.
Go ahead. It's a free planet. I'm busy.
Stubborn Maximal fool. He'll soon regret this impertinence.
I love how just legitimately a force to be reckoned with Rhinox is. He never changes. He's not like, he doesn't get transmetal or missiles that shoot out of his butter. He's just Rhinox, but he's like dad, you know, where like he doesn't show how big his guns are, but then when you finally make him angry, he can defeat Megatron. Probably he's amazing, but he doesn't seek to be leader. Rhinox is God. I feel like every day watching that show, you have a new favorite character, and it's whoever is on screen. Black Arachne is your favorite character. Silverbolt is your favorite character. I mean, Rat Trap, of course, forever Rat Trap. I think my Skype handle right now, as you're talking to me, is Rat
Don't
Trap.
Don't give it out.
I'm not going to say
Don't
that. Don't give a it out. A version of that. And you're right. It's type that out phonetically. And but like some version of Rat Trap has been my handle back in like my old IRC days. Do you remember IRC?
Oh, yeah.
Text-based thing?
Yep.
We used to go on there and Telnet and the AllSpark boards before I was broadcast. I was a version of Rat Trap. That's a interesting story going back on a question you said. Broadcast, the reason why I had that name on AllSpark was when I was like 7, 8 years old, that was my made up Transformer. That was my OC, my wow. made up fan character was Broadcast, because I loved Soundwave. I loved the things, the Transformers that turned into mundane objects. I was tickled with, you know? Mm. So I made this guy, he was a triple changer. So it was really cool. He turned into the big old dumb wood panel television that was in our living room and a satellite, because I wanted to make him as useless as possible, but a communications officer. You know, 8 years old, I thought this was really cool. Right. Maybe 9. And so he was Broadcast, and he was like, and this is before like I knew anything about twin cast or you know, when Blaster dies and comes back as a plaid Blaster. So yeah, man, that was it. That is the origin of why Broadcast was my handle for so long, because in my mind it was my old character. So
it's always fun to create your own characters, though.
Yeah. I mean, Josh, that was when I was 9, but it's not like it stopped. It's great. I love the non-show toy characters too. You can kind of like look at them. Oh, you're the Autobot Chef.
It's like Ultra Magnus when he doesn't wear his armor, but he never shows up that way.
Yep.
So what alt mode would you want to have if humans could transform?
A 2001 Jeep Cherokee.
Very specific. Just 'cause
it's a car I had that I liked. Yeah, that's it. Or a 1993 Chrysler LeBaron convertible, British racing green with gold ragtop and gold interior. Another car I had at some point.
Seems Neither to be like them, a trend to pick old cars. I have an old, or I owned an old 89 S15 GMC pickup.
All right.
And I had it was two-tone,
mm-hmm.
which, funny enough, I I had the truck for years, and then I back in the early 2000s paid Josh Bertram to turn it into a Transformer.
That's cool.
So now it's the mascot of this program.
That's cool.
Right.
Ultimus Prime.
What's his name?
Ultimus Prime.
Ultimus Prime. So what does Ultimus Prime sound like?
I have no idea.
You need to figure that out. What
Ultimus Prime sounds like, man. You're a voice actor. Come on.
Yeah. I've never actually thought about it, but it was the original incarnation of him before I had him as the old truck that I used to have was he was a white clone of Optimus Prime before like anybody was like, oh, that's Ultra Magnus. but he has a lot of dark gray on him instead of, and he's got a fusion cannon on his shoulder.
So like best Megatron. Of both worlds there.
Yeah. So, but he's more militaristic and less, you know, well, freedom is the right of all sentient beings. No, they help us too.
You should totally like figure out like what he sounds like. Could just sound like you and then like do intros for the show as the character that is the mascot, that is the Transformer, like wheels within wheels, pun intended. That's really cool.
That would be fun.
That would be good.
I will do that.
I repainted a, I forget his name. It was from Energon or Cybertron, the scout class that had sort of a convertible. It was white. You know what I'm talking about? There's a backpack that plugs on and off.
Yeah.
They use it to make BotCon Cheetor.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Frick, I forget his name. But anyway, I repainted him to be the convertible that I used to drive. I had this, it was a busted up thing. It was held together with duct tape. I had to bolt a button to the dashboard in order to hold it down when I have to turn on the ignition in order for the engine to actually turn over. So this thing had flowered seat covers on it too, only because the upholstery was ripped, but this thing was like, it was janky as heck, but I'm driving around New York, you know, who needs it? And so I made his Cybertronian mode out of this toy, but we got like a metallic green paint and I did the whole thing and somewhere around here, I think.
I'm thinking about doing that with a Combiner Wars Ironhide because it's a truck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, or maybe that's next on the agenda.
Movie Ironhide is a pickup truck, right?
It is.
There you go. So, that'll work.
You can do a face swap if you want.
Yeah.
Just have Optimus rip off his face. It's fine.
Yeah, just rip off his face. Put Prime's face on it. It'll work.
Give me your face.
Give me your face. Would you like to inform the fans where they can interact with you online?
Sure. Let's see. My website is franktodaro.tv. Twitter, I'm not a big tweeter, but Frank Todaro VO. I think Frank Todaro Voice on Facebook. And then on Instagram is just F Todaro. I think that's everything. If you see me in the grocery store, just say hello, I guess. I don't know. That's where you can find me.
You find him in the grocery store. Make sure you talk to him as Megatron.
In your cereal aisle.
Yes.
Ooh, what would it be like if Starscream had a cereal of his own?
It'd be called Seekers.
They come in many colors.
And they're all very marshmallowy.
So sugary sweet. They rot your teeth, kids.
Oh, wait. For just a split second, please, as Starscream, say TV rots your brains.
TV rots your brains.
Thank you so much. That is awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Good. Any final lines from you, Megatron? Anything you want to say as Megatron to Mr. Todaro or any of the voices that he voices?
I'm all ears.
Ah, yes. It's Starscream. Whatever happened to you after I had the Maximals send you into outer space?
Oh, it depends which reality you're really looking at. I mean, for a while I was a notary. I had a bed and breakfast in Vermont for a bit. It was a little crazy. The neighbors were weird. But we were mostly just working on myself, trying to, you know, rebuild myself up after the whole death thing. And I'm feeling really confident now. But I'm thinking of maybe writing a book.
What would you call it?
Oh,
A Wind Touch of Death.
My Wings.
The Wind Beneath Them.
Those it sounds in... excellent. Yes.
I'll send you a copy. Let me talk to my agent.
Those neighbors in Vermont wouldn't happen to be Tori and Dean, would they? Sorry, bad reality joke. Bad reality TV joke there, folks.
I feel like the Coneheads should come in as like Larry, Daryl, and Daryl from Newhart.
Yes. Yes, they should. Yes, they absolutely should.
Oh, my God. Makes its own gravy, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, it does. All right. We'd like to thank Frank for taking the time to chat with us here in this Geekcast Radio Presents interview. Transform, transcend, and we'll catch you next time here on All Things Transformers and the TFG1 Podcast. Unleash the geek in you.
Good night, everyone.
I can't even talk. Oh, wow. It sounded just like Dan Gilvezan. What the hell? It wasn't even Dan Gilvezan Bumblebee. That was just like his regular voice. Jesus, don't do that.
This is bad comedy.
Soon, thanks to me, the Autobot raids on our detention centers will come to a swift end. Or should I say, a swift and brutal end.